I speak to you in the name of God, lover, beloved, and love. Amen. At this time of the church year, we are especially invited to reflect on our response to the life and ministry, the death and resurrection of Jesus. In the first half of the year, we follow Jesus' life from his birth to his death, to his resurrection, to his ascension. And now, on this side of Pentecost, we are invited into the same life and ministry he shared. We are called into his death and resurrection to imitate it, to be renewed by it, to have it frame our relationship with the world, our families, our friends, and our neighbors. Since December, we have been preparing for this moment, this second Sunday after Pentecost, to get out and be the Jesus we encountered in a world so deeply in need of spiritual nourishment, hope, and life. The future of the world depends upon God's children taking Jesus' words and ministry, his death and resurrection, seriously. Not as some sort of fairy tale or myth, but as the God-sent lens through which we see the world, as the God-sent foundation upon which we stand in this world, as the God-sent paradigm in which we live and move in this world. And just a little reminder of this world. Here's a refresher for us. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth, and God called it good. God established the foundations of life, and they were good. Why were they good? Because they were made by a good God. God's goodness created goodness. God's love created love. God's beauty created beauty. This incredible statement of faith was imagined by our ancient Hebrew ancestors who huddled around campfires and wandered in deserts, who defended themselves against famine, war, and sickness, who experienced a hard, difficult world, but dared to not define the world by what they saw or experienced, but to define the world on something else, a greater truth, a God truth, a good God who created all this and called it good. An incredible statement of faith. Now, our spiritual ancestors were not fools. Neither were they deniers of reality. They knew intimately how difficult this world was to live and move in. They knew the struggle of finding safety, food, and shelter. They knew the dangers posed by floods and fires and earthquakes. They knew the capacity in themselves and in their neighbors' hearts to do violence and evil. And yet, still, knowing all that, right at the very beginning, they declared that God made this world good. And so, because they declared the foundations to be good, they had to find a way of describing all this other stuff that wasn't good. Sin, violence, evil, bad. Later, some of our other spiritual ancestors called these things deprivations. Deprivations that were eating at the good foundations of the world, kind of like a cavity decaying a good tooth. This deprivation or cavity was a blight on the goodness of the world, a cloud that overshadowed the goodness of the world so much that all too often we human beings began to forget the declarations of our earlier ancestors that God made this world and called it good. And we began to call what was good, evil. We called the world a bad place, a place to avoid, a place to be done with, a place to get out of. This good world, we began to imagine, was a bad world, maybe even created by a bad God. We called the good bad and the bad good. And this went beyond the natural world. We were clever in how we called good bad and bad good. Violence, for instance, became a means to justify an end, right? Fear ensures good order. War brings about colonization and the Crusades. Because we called bad good and good bad, we created residential schools, a means to justify an end. Greed also became a means to justify an end. We built a stable economy on the backs of slaves or poorly paid workers. We took from the earth natural resources without thinking about the impact we were having on the environment. We wanted cheap bananas, clothing, and electronics. The end justified the means. We called the good bad and the bad good. And if that weren't depraved enough, we even turned the good bad and the bad good. Jesus became a soldier or a ravenous lion marching to conquer and devour, rather than being the one pierced by a soldier's lance or the lamb who was slain. The church became an army, clad in armor and brandishing weapons, either literally as in the Crusades or figuratively as bullies thumping Bibles about. Rather than the household of God brought together to eat at the same table where there are no distinctions of nationality, economics, or gender, Jesus became a white nationalist. The church became empire. The good turned to bad, and we turned the bad to good. And all this led up to one repugnant end after another. Children were ripped from families and sent away to residential schools from which at least at the very minimum 215 children never returned. A bad that we called good for far too long, all because we called their good bad. From the very beginning, the good foundations of the world have been threatened by this deprivation, this growing cavity that eats at the good and even turns it on its head, calling good bad and bad good. And Jesus came and said, stop it. Some of his closest family called him out of his mind as he stood up and said, stop it. Some of the smartest people in the land called him satanic as he worked to uncover the earlier foundations of God's goodness. As he went around calling for repentance and revealing the kingdom of God in their midst by casting out oppressive powers, aka demons. They called him bad as he went around healing people, as he fed people, as he forgave people, as he gave new life to people, as he broke people out of that obscuring cloud that hid the good foundations of life, as he invaded the world as a dentist, brandishing the tools needed to fight cavities. People began to call him bad and what he was doing evil, and Jesus was not having any of that. Everything is forgivable, he said, except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Everything is forgivable except when you call good bad and bad good. The residential school system is an eternal sin. The Crusades are an eternal sin. The abuse of power and the conflation of power in church is an eternal sin. And why do I know this? Because of its generational impact in the world. Don't get me wrong. God forgives everything. God is love and cannot help but bring this world back together again in love. It is God's essence to do that. When Jesus is talking about eternal sin or unforgivable sin, he's using hyperbole, of course, to emphasize the seriousness of this sin that we participate in, this sin of calling good bad and bad good. The systems of residential school are an eternal evil that will take generations to heal from. And I know this because aren't we still dealing with the impact of the Crusades that happened 700-800 years ago? Aren't we still dealing with the impact of biblically justified racism or slavery that happened 150 years ago, or misogyny or homophobia? Haven't we just begun to realize the impact of our greedy economic systems on the environment as we used our Protestant work ethic to despoil creation? Dear God, these are eternal sins in that they are generational in their impact. Lord, have mercy, Christ. Have mercy, Lord, have mercy, and my friends, he does have mercy. Jesus, who pierces through the obscuring cloud of evil, sets things aright. In his life, in his teaching, in his death, in his resurrection, in his ascension, he invades this world with the light of God, unveiling the more ancient foundations of goodness. And he re-establishes a family who will do God's will in this world. who will call good what is good, and who will resist evil. A family made up of people from every nation, every era, every classification we can think of, to come together and continue his work of calling people to repentance, of repenting ourselves, of pointing out the ancient foundations of goodness. A family that is willing to heal the sick, who will dare to cast out those oppressive forces, aka demons, who will get to work feeding the hungry, who will do the unthinkable in forgiving sins, who will work the long generational work for reconciliation and the good of this world. Jesus establishes a family to do God's will. Will you join this family? Will you do God's will with Jesus, the servant and friend of the world? Amen.